This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored in part by Audible.com. Audible.com offers well over 100 Star Wars audiobook titles, including the new novel Darth Plagueis, the full story of the Sith legend first mentioned in Revenge of the Sith. Now you can download one free audiobook from Audible.com, including Darth Plagueis, or any one of the other Star Wars titles, or any of the over 100,000 titles from Audible.com's library by visiting audibletrial.com/SWIC. Again, that's audibletrial.com/SWIC for your free audiobook.
Oh my God, I got a boner.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Boshek.
Why do you say it all together?
Does it have to be? Is that how you pronounce the official pronunciation?
I think so. I think it's one word. It's got two capital letters. No,
I meant the way he said it. So if I said Boshek, I'd be talking about someone else.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Wait a second. It's two. What?
It's one word, but the B is big and the S is big.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
I thought his name was Bo.
His last name was Sheck.
His
cousin Luke Sheck.
His name is Bo Sheck.
So this is one name. He's not like Robert Sheck, and they just call him Bo.
Not that I know. Nope. So Tim tells us otherwise.
You gotta be shitting me. This is like already the worst episode of the next batch.
I'm not shitting you, D. You stole my joke, you ass.
Bo Sheck appears in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. My name is... These are all from myself.
From myself.
From the voice in my head.
My name is Bacriss Keeg.
I don't even know.
Explain that.
It is those Dyro-looking people in the cantina, like the Cad Bane people.
Duros,
one of those two. One of them was named by Chris Keeg. I think I didn't write down where I got the Chris from. I forgot to. But Matt is the guy next to me in the cantina. His name is Elors Matak, because the guy's name is Madak.
Ah, okay.
That one I've heard of. The other one,
so we're side to side.
And Chris and I have had conversations that sound a lot like theirs does, so I'll buy that.
And those guys are like all over each other, too. There's
so are we and Matt.
There's something going on there. There's a little...
Well, the names just keep getting more appropriate.
And to my right... Yeah. I have not done this in a while. So ready?
Darth Vader Dave.
Close.
Yeah.
Dune Sea Dave. Well, as you are across Tatooine.
What?
Because it's a desert stretched across Tatooine.
That sounded romantic, though.
It is.
It did.
It sounded like sweet nothings.
This so, one's gonna sound
first. You're hugging it up with Matt.
I am.
And now you're flirting with me.
And this one, Tim's going to sound nasty, but Tim, you.
What's that?
This is from the character Dimmu.
Who's that?
Why do I know that name?
Tim, if you know this, I'm flying down and kicking your ass.
Why do I know?
You're kicking his ass for knowing something?
These were Bantha worshipping monks. Dimmu's.
Really?
Yeah. No, I guess I don't know.
Did you get this name from, Chris? Yeah.
What's weird, when I see who we're doing, I read their backstory and shit in there pops out. And this Dimmu's were mentioned in his backstory.
That sounds interesting.
It does. Please don't go bad, though. Really.
Please don't do an episode on it, but it sounds interesting just to leave it at that.
Yeah, we won't be talking about Dimmu's and his stories.
Dimmu's. That cracked me up. Tim, you.
Yes.
Give us some facts about Boshek.
Yeah. Boshek. All right, well, Boshek, he is a male Carillion smuggler. He is from the planet Carillia, the same planet as Han Solo.
Now, wait. Uh-oh. He's Carillion, but everyone else that looks like him in the Star Wars galaxy and from another planet is human.
Well, I mean, his homeworld is Corellia, so I guess he would be Corellian. His species would be human.
Okay.
We had that discussion.
I know, we have this discussion every other episode, and the answer changes.
Because even like when we first started, because I always saw like things that it would classify Han Solo as Corellian, and I asked you guys, is that a race of people? And you're all like, no, you idiot. He's a human. And I was like, geez. You know, and now.
Well, I guess to call him Corellian, it's like, you know, I'm a human, but I'm American, or, you know, someone could be Russian or Japanese. So I guess Corellian is, I guess it's kind of like that.
Okay.
I actually will accept that finally after this now 50 episodes behind us finally have a reasonable explanation.
Instead of countries, they have planetary designation.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, Dave, you idiot.
Yeah. See, I told you. I didn't lose the last trivia for nothing.
Now they on Wikipedia they gave him this weird name of what his job actually is. Is his job piloting ships to and from an outlaw tech transponder slicing workshop? He's basically a car thief.
Okay.
He steals ships and transports them to Chop Shop on Tatooine.
A booster.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's really his main source of income. He does do smuggling on the side little by little, but for the most part he's a Chop Shop guy.
Nice.
He did as a smuggler, he does work freelance for just about anybody. He'll pay him. As a smuggler, you sort of run in the fringes of society. So he's obviously had dealings with Jabba the Hutt. And another name who I don't think we've ever brought this name up on this podcast yet, but Prince Xizor, who was from the Shadows of the Empire game, a very popular character in the Shadows of the Empire book. I mean, so in the EU, he's like the equivalent of like a Jabba the Hutt type character.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Having done this for well over a year now, I'm surprised his name hasn't come up because Steve Perry, the guy that wrote the book, really intertwined Prince Xizor into a lot of the Star Wars galaxy. So, long story short, I am quite surprised that it's the first time his name has come up on this show.
Yeah, when I was doing it, I was writing, I'm like, I think this is the first time I'm even mentioning him in our podcast. We're 51 episodes in and bam, there he is. We're never going to do an episode on Prince Xizor because he's never in any of the films, but it's kind of nice to just say his name.
Dave, come back, Dave. Here he is.
Okay. Yeah, I was ready to quit and say if there's anybody out there that wants to take my place, have at it.
Now, just before the Battle of Yavin. Now, Boshek has a pretty extensive story, but we're giving you the absolute Cliff Notes version of this story. Just before the Battle of Yavin, Boshek basically took a job to transport a stolen ship back to Tatooine. And on the course of that trip, heading back, he found that he was able to take the same route, the Kessel Run, that Han Solo was famous for having the record of 12 parsecs in terms of beating having the fastest the ship to go through the Kessel Run.
How fast did he do it?
Now, I don't know how many parsecs he did it in, but I guess as a smuggler and constantly being on Tatooine and having affiliations as a smuggler with Jabba and all these other guys, I'm sure he's run into Han Solo several times. So he and Han Solo probably have a little bit of a working relationship with each other. And I guess he has heard Solo talk about the Kessel Run and being so fast at it so many times that he's probably sick of it. But he actually beat Han Solo's Kessel Run. So that was one of the main things that he wanted to do when he got back to Tatooine was to walk up to Han Solo and proclaim that he is the champion of the Kessel Run.
I like that. That's cool. It's neat to know that Han may have had some contemporaries, and I can almost imagine these two guys having like a friendly rivalry and having a beer together or whatever the hell they drink. Blue milk and Greedo's blood. I mean, who knows? But it's cool that, you know, there's like he's like the yin to his yang or something like that. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so he was really excited, and we see him there at the cantina. He's right there standing at the bar. He's in there very briefly.
Dave, I'm dying to know how long is he in this?
This is, I think, possibly the shortest of any.
Oh, I was afraid of this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because you know that record was held by Wilro Hood.
Oh yeah, what was?
There we go.
Do you remember what it was?
Yes, I do.
What was it?
1.7 seconds.
1.7 seconds for Wilro Hood?
Yep.
Well, Wilro's safe.
Oh, okay.
You sound like Ryan Seacrest.
Bo Scheck, 3.4 seconds.
Oh. Ooh.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's twice. He's two Wilro Hoods in one.
Are you saying he's twice the man Wilro Hood is? Because I got a problem with that.
Two Wilros in one. 3.4 seconds. Bo Scheck is what I'm calling.
It's
him.
One name, Dave.
No, I'm calling him Bo. Like, oh. Just a good old morn.
Now, this is where we see. Little known fact here about Bo Scheck is he is actually force sensitive. Had he been born earlier.
I just have visions of Han and Bo sliding across the hood of the Millennium Falcon and going, and now you're going to tell me he's force sensitive.
He is force sensitive. Had he been born a little earlier, he possibly could have gone into the Jedi Order. But he's never been trained in it. So for him, it's always just kind of, he's kind of like little Anakin Skywalker in Episode One, where, you know, he's a good pilot and he's got reflexes and intuition. It's basically because he's got the Force on his side. He doesn't really realize it's the Force.
He's just good at stuff.
But if you ask him to move a rock using only his mind, he'd probably look and say, you're stupid. I can't do that.
But he can sense things and stuff.
Yeah, he is sensitive. And and actually, while
ghost.
Yeah. I would like to see a Bo Scheck in the special editions that come out on whatever the next Blu-ray, whatever is better than Blu-ray down the road.
Oh, I want to see. Was that you?
You can get with that guy that put Porkins in at the very end and put Bo Scheck along right next to him.
I imagine him having like a very cockney accent too. He's probably an Englishman.
Oi.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on here?
But he
now this time the Scheck brothers went a heap of trouble.
I don't know what the fuck accent that was, but
it was good though.
Thank you.
He actually sensed a presence in the Force when Luke and Obi-Wan entered the cantina. Obviously, he didn't know what he was sensing. He just sensed something was up.
Yeah,
he just smelled something.
He got a little gas.
Yeah.
Yes. But
just stopped talking like a couple minutes ago because this guy was cool. With every word, he's becoming less cool. But it's not your fault, Tim. It's just
I know. I think he's cool. And I actually kind of like his story here, even going forward a little bit.
All right.
But he's obviously if you looked around the cantina and if you're Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke looking for a pilot, no one in that damn place looks more like a pilot than Bo Scheck.
Yeah,
he's as pilot-y as you get.
Pilot-y. Well, he's wearing that same flight suit that they're basically all wearing. And when we did the Bosk episode, we talked about that flight suit. And Matt, I guess it was one of you guys that said that they were kind of like cheap leftover World War II flight suits that they could get a hold of, and he's just wearing a variation of that.
Yes, it was the Windac high altitude pressure suit that the British Air Force used in the 1960s.
It's cool. It's got that little bib on it, which makes it like just for whatever reason that ribbed bib,
so he can eat. eat those wings on the way.
The Shaman's Cantina serves very sloppy wings.
Yeah, they're all.
But he
and I even noticed in watching the scene that guy that we thought may have been Bosk but wasn't Bosk sitting in the background. You know, he's wearing a yellow one, but Bo Scheck's is kind of grayish.
Yeah,
he really did. I loved. I mean, whoever decided that, I guess it was out of necessity for cost, but it ended up being a perfect choice.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. But yeah, he's the first one that. That Obi-Wan comes up to because, as I said, he's the most pilot-y of everybody in the damn cantina. And he tries to hire him, but Bo Scheck informed him that he didn't really have a ship that he could use for the job. But luckily, standing right next to him was Chewbacca.
So wait, Obi-Wan
asked him first.
Asked Sheck first.
What I always thought too. I always thought Bo Sheck referred him to Chewbacca. That's what I got out of the scene.
That's what I thought too. Like he was just like, you know, Bob's your uncle. He's your guy. Like, yeah, like he points in the right direction. So he asked him and he turned him down because he didn't have a ship.
Yep.
He didn't have a ship.
That kind of goes against my theory that if it wasn't for Bo Sheck, there'd be no Star Wars.
Yes.
Well, if Bo Sheck at least had a ship, maybe he could have been laying the pipe with Princess Leia down the road.
I don't think he's her type.
But so he sort of shuffles him over to Chewbacca. But Kenobi, he's pretty intuitive, and he senses that Bo Sheck has a little bit of force sensitivity, and before he goes over
here, check out Han
Solo.
Here you go, Dave. Here it comes.
Yeah, he basically gives Bo Sheck some little words of advice, and he informs him that he'd probably be better off sort of laying off the dark side tendency, you know, do something different with your life, go towards the light, basically. And he gives Bo Sheck this Jedi-like advice, and this changes Bo Sheck's entire world.
Thanks to Obi-Wan.
What?
Thanks to Obi-Wan.
So this is like Elon Sleazebagino.
Death Sticks, yeah.
Yep.
Several years later.
But George Lucas remembers this scene, and that's why he added it to the new movie.
Oh, come on.
It's obviously not as blatant as we see in Attack of the Clones, but yeah, he basically gives him a little life advice.
What is Obi-Wan like, Dr. Phil? Like, why is he out there helping everyone? Just do your thing and that's it.
Now, you Bo Sheck, you need to go home and rethink your life.
But Obi-Wan doesn't actually help anybody, because Elon Sleazebagino stopped dealing drugs, but he became like some like serious arms dealer or something, didn't he? No, he stopped using drugs, but he kept selling them. And of course, we know what his guidance did to Anakin Skywalker. All we know, Bo Sheck, you know, built and designed the laser for the second Death Star or something.
Obi-Wan's the worst, man.
He is. Yeah.
Now Bo Sheck. You know, he did talk to Chewbacca, but he didn't let Chewbacca know that he had beaten Han Solo's parsec record, I guess, for the Kessel Run. I think he probably just told him, "I got to talk to Han. I got to tell him something." Unfortunately, he never got the chance to go over to talk to Han. He basically, you know, there was the big thing going on with the lightsaber and cutting people's arms off, and stormtroopers coming into the bar, and Greedo going over and taking up all of Han's time. And Han was over there with some chippy in some deleted scenes, so he doesn't want to be a cock blocker there. So he never gets his opportunity to brag to Han.
Didn't Obi-Wan jump in and say that girl was like riddled with syphilis or something, give some more advice to Han? I mean, isn't that what happened?
Wear a raincoat, my boy.
That girl's got the clap.
I actually heard that I read that Bo Sheck supposedly saw the gun Han Solo was holding under the table and was like in the corner going, "Yeah, that's my man, Han." Like he knew about it.
High five.
He knew about it before he was going to shoot, you know, shoot Greedo second.
He was sitting there saying, "Yes, blasters, yes, blasters."
He's always in the background. He always has been, you know, what's going on. He's there. He knows what's happening.
He's not in the background. He's in it for 3.4 seconds.
Yeah.
See, I always kind of thought that would be cool. Like you said, that deleted scene with Han and that girl. Like if Bo Sheck was over there, like just kind of, "Hey, how you doing?" The Tonica sisters.
How you doing?
Huh?
You guys twins or something?
I will Bo Sheck you.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
Penis shanking.
What? Shanking?
Now, after...
I was ignoring you.
Shank. That's a word I haven't heard in a long time. Chris used to use that word all the time.
Isn't that when you get stabbed in prison? Isn't that called shanking?
Well, that's... if you're in prison, it's one of the two.
You can stabbed in the penis with a weapon. Which, penis is a weapon. Okay, get it. Funny.
About time, God.
Now, after...
I'm having my own fight with Chris, and Chris isn't even involved.
I want to shank you.
Ugh.
After we see both Sheck and Han Solo leaves, there's a lot of different stories with him, a lot of comic book stuff and EU stuff. And I gotta admit, I looked through it, I read through it all, and it really was not very interesting. It doesn't add to the character at all. So basically after this, he basically tries to live nicely. He runs into situations he. So a lot of this stuff is in comics, but the majority of
I say, Tim, I like this new approach. I hope you stick with it.
But yeah, most of this info comes from the Tales from the Cantina book, from the story. It's called At the Crossroads, a Spacer's Tale by Jerry Olton. The other stuff that happens after this, tons of other writers and comic book things. And as I've said before, I'm not a big fan of the Star Wars comics, so I usually think the stories in the comics are usually subpar when it comes to Star Wars storytelling.
I still can't get over this friggin' name.
Bo Sheck?
Bo Sheck, yeah.
I guess on his area of Corellia, they don't have last names. They're all like Madonna and Cher.
And Sting.
Except for Han Solo.
Han Solo, yeah, he must come from the other side of the planet where they have a first and a last name.
I'm surprised almost in one of these stories because, you know, I like the way they're linking him with Han.
Wasn't Malakali a Corellian? He's a one-namer.
Was he? More. I don't remember.
Sorry, David, I didn't mean to jump over there.
No, that's okay. I'm surprised they didn't end up having them be, like, related or something, or right. Childhood friends, you know, like, take it even a step further.
All right, a pet Wookiee named Chewbacca when he was a kid.
Yeah. Like, this guy has the potential, and I actually think he is kind of cool for, like, the very brief time that he's in. With like he lends a lot to your imagination. Like, you're like, who is that dude in this room full of creatures that can just hang? Right. Like, he must be like Han. He must be cool enough to hang in a place that's supposed to be pretty damn dangerous. Now, can he speak to Chewbacca and can he understand Chewbacca?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Through the Force, because he's Force sensitive.
He seems like, and Matt and I at least thought that he was kind of brokering this deal, or at least leading Obi-Wan on that way. He must be able to interpret.
There's rare occasions on this show that Tim tells us the official canon, and my brain overrides that, and I'm going to override it with the story that he brokered the deal.
Yeah, that's the way I always kind of took it.
He looks on the page on Wikipedia. There's a photo of him, and he looks like a pretty confident dude, and he looks like he's absorbing the information and making a decision to pass it on to Chewie and Han.
You're reading a lot into that picture.
It's the sideburns as well.
It's the shot of him. I mean, and I can picture it clearly in my head. He nods over his shoulder to Chewbacca, almost like saying, "Here's the guy I brought you." I mean,
here's Harry.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Saburns? You want some of this milk?
Where the fuck is beer? That? It's from Billy Madison. Tim,
oh, okay.
This could be our milk.
We better have
you
a beer.
To tell nobody.
Veronica Vaughn, so hot.
One to touch that.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Can we just do Billy Madison
in character?
Yeah, Billy in character.
Billy Madison is a human from Corellia.
Billy passed in fourth grade. Billy Madison way. That's all I got on the character. I just have a little bit of behind the scenes information. Now he's portrayed by a British actor by the name of Anthony Lang. There's not a whole lot of info out there about Anthony. He performed mainly on British television. His most notable performances other than Star Wars, he appeared on a bunch of episodes of Doctor Who from 1966 to 75.
Matt, you used to watch Doctor Who, didn't you?
No.
Who am I thinking of? Somebody was like a huge Doctor Who fan there. I was like telling us about
Steve?
Doctor Who, and I was like, I don't want to hear it.
I don't know. I've been watching the newer Doctor Who's recently and enjoying those, but I used to watch the Afro Doctor Who on PBS when I was a kid.
That I have seen, yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Potter scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually really funny.
But he was on several episodes. I guess he probably crossed over between two or three different Doctor Who's. I don't remember how many Doctor Who's they had during that time period. But he was on several episodes. He played a lot of different characters on those. Star Wars is his last role listed on his IMDb page. He unfortunately passed away in 1992. Mm. But he's one of those elusive guys that got away from us way too soon before the Star Wars craze really kicked back in.
I was gonna say, be honest, Tim, before you started getting your poster signed, is what you mean to say.
Read between the lines. Yes, I would love to have Anthony Lang Tony on my poster, but unfortunately he passed away 5 years before my poster was printed.
That's a shame.
But as Dave said, we see him wearing the similar outfit that Bosk had, which is, I guess, that's standard issue for a space pilot in the Star Wars world.
Right.
Now, in this, he's one of the great examples of the little things in this movie that really date it into the 70s. And it's the sideburns.
Yeah.
Now, it's Star Wars. This was filmed probably mid-1976. I don't know when sideburns really went out of style, because by the time Empire came out, you don't really see too many sideburns in that, if any.
No.
So this really sort of gets – there's several guys. There's a couple Imperial guys that have really massive sideburns that are just badass. But
there's some pretty good pork chops going on here.
He's got them going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, he really encapsulates the perfect 70s male with those sideburns. And when they made his action figure a few years back, I think he's only had one action figure made.
I was excited to get this.
Oh, he did?
Too. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was one. Did. That's cool.
He did get an action figure. I think it's only been released once. I don't think they've made additional ones. And man, those sideburns, badass.
I remember when this figure was released, and I was so cool because they never made one of these ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta get that one.
I would really like look for it now. Like if I knew that it was out there, I could probably get it on eBay or something.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I might. Yeah. I don't. Buy myself one of these suckers.
I don't think it's a. It's anything that's like a super valuable one. I don't think it's like a collector's choice figure where it's like super popular. So you should be able to find this pretty easily online at probably under $15, more likely under $10.
I may do that.
A loose one, maybe just like $2. You never know.
Maybe even through the Star Wars in Character Amazon page. And
I was going to say, start news on Amazon starting at $11.50.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not bad.
Very cool.
I like this guy. I like this.
Oh, Shaq.
You like him because he's force sensitive, right?
No.
Well, I mean, you gotta think that there's people born after the Purge of the Jedi that would be sensitive to the Force. I mean, the Force,
yeah,
is
the midichlorians. Yeah.
So, actually, I guess with his age, he probably would have been about 10 years old at the during the Jedi Purge. So maybe. Maybe they did identify him and just didn't think he was force sensitive enough to be.
Maybe
a Jedi.
They found him at the wrong age. Oh wait, that age rarely matters.
Yeah. You know what? If he went on this mission with Obi-Wan and Luke and Bo Shek, they could have all been using that little ball thing, the training ball, and with all their force sensitivities, they could have been force buddies.
That stupid ball.
This guy though always reminded me of an astronaut sometimes, because yeah, always had that astronaut helmet thing going on.
Oh,
and the action figure, I guess I should say.
He's Moonraker.
That's the way that boss imposter that's kind of sitting in the corner in the one scene when Greedo kind of turns his head and looks, that boss guy's behind him, and there's also another guy sitting there that has that helmet on too. It's very like crappy science fiction, you know, helmet thing going on. I think they look much better without the helmet. Like, keep that helmet away, like, because otherwise it looks like Buzz Lightyear or some shit like that. this guy's cool, and I guess it's just the, at least before for me, the mystery surrounding him and things that I was conjuring in my head, and other than the force sensitive things, I like that story that you came up with there, Tim. Not that you came up with it, but that you found.
Yeah, this is not the Mav Krim episode.
No. I was really happy with this guy's story. Most of it made sense, and I honestly don't mind the force sensitive, because there's got to be more force sensitive people out there than just the Jedi who were killed 20 years earlier. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah,
and, I actually agree with that. I hate to admit.
Yeah, and he's not a Jedi. He doesn't know how to use it. It's just sort of helps him when it feels the need to help them. Those when those midichlorians sort of, you know, start talking to each other.
I remember back, it was a few months ago now, we did, on our Facebook page, we did a, you know, obscure character tournament. Started with 60 characters, and he was one of the 64. And he made it pretty far, maybe even to, like, the Sweet 16, because people like him.
Yeah.
And I remember, she's not much on our Facebook page anymore, but there was a woman named Hillary who always had funny things to say, and she isn't... been on there much lately, but she was like a huge fan of him, and mostly because of those sideburns.
Those sideburns.
So we should dedicate this episode to Hillary if she still listens.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's all I got.
Oh, Matt.
Yes, Chris.
Does your website involve a barbershop?
No, I'm afraid not. It's actually quite ironic. I was scrambling for doing some extra research because it's Doctor Who related, not knowing this guy was in Doctor Who. So it's a bit of a stretch. It's a little, well, it's quite different than most. Well, I don't know. I guess maybe that might be a stretch to say because my website's very differently from, you know, from each other. But doing a Bo Sheck search on Google, it led me to a forum called JediDefender.com where someone said, put a post titled Bo Sheck and Boss Costumes on Doctor Who, and they let a link to Yoohoo, and there's this old 1966 episode of Doctor Who called The Tenth Planet, and in the first 10 minutes takes place in the ship that's traveling to the planet, and sure as shit, they're wearing the costumes that Bo Sheck and Bosk wore, and it's hard to pay attention to anything that's going on because you're really looking to see if there's any even detailed difference, and there's not. So it's actually really neat to see these costumes 11 years before we saw them in Star Wars, I thought.
Oh, man.
That's pretty cool.
That's unbelievable. Huh.
I'm trying to see if he possibly was in that episode. My computer's a little slow.
That's what I was doing. He wasn't. I was hoping he was. That would have been freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in that. He was on the same run of that show that year, but not that episode.
Yeah, he was in The Highlanders, episode 1 in 1966. I see he has one.
In a way, too, like Bo Sheck and Bosk, their names are almost so familiar. That's the same jacket, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. And I wonder if you can still, like, get those. You know, like, if you're... We have listeners in England and the UK in general. I wonder if you could, like, go to, like... We have Army Navy stores in this country. I wonder if there's an equivalent of that in the UK where you can go in and buy like old army and stuff supplies. It'd be cool if you could just walk in there and buy one of those damn flight suits. That'd work.
That's probably what the costume designers and I don't know, the production designers, they probably just went into surplus.
Yeah.
Over there and picked up a bunch of these things. Cause
if you find one, send one to Dave.
Yeah.
He'll wear it.
I wear it to work, man. I'll sleep in that sucker. That thing is cool.
Wear it to church.
Yeah. Well, very cool. That's really awesome that his outfit, even though he's not the one wearing it, his outfit shows up on Doctor Who.
Yeah, like I said, I had no idea this guy was related to Doctor Who. I thought that was incredibly ironic for that site. So that is pretty neat.
Maybe he got a suit and this is what he wore to the set.
I was almost hoping that he was the one that he would be in that episode and the one wearing the Bo Sheck one. It's just like he just kept it all those years and he went to the audition in that suit and he said, you know what, wear that.
You truly are a Time Lord.
Show up Tuesday and wear that.
That would have been awesome.
Thank you,
Matt.
You're welcome.
Well, this is a new era.
A new era?
Jeez. Now, guess what?
What?
We're all tied.
We are all tied. After the conclusion of our last round of trivia and the start of a new batch of episodes, we are starting from zero with a new batch of trivia, and we are calling this trivia segment, thanks to Tim, Imperial Pursuit.
Nice name, Tim.
Nice going, Tim. So this is the way it's going to work. We are going to do this almost like Final Jeopardy style, but throughout the competition. It'll be the four of us facing off against each other, as happened on our last two rounds of trivia, and the winner will receive prizes as chosen by the losers. So
anything we want. But it has to be Star Wars related, right?
Star Wars related. Okay. It might end up not being much of a prize depending on how much of a prick the loser wants to be.
Might be a sock.
A Star Wars sock.
Star Wars sock.
Not even both.
Only one.
How about
glove? I'd say a marble, but I know Tim likes those marbles, so that was a bad choice.
I love those marbles.
Yeah. He does.
Well, and the way we're going to do this is we have categories. I will read the category to the participant first.
What is that?
There's 33 different categories.
Ooh.
Upon hearing the category, the participant will wager points from 0 to 5, depending on how confident they are in that category. And then depending on whether they get it right or wrong, they will either add or subtract to their point total.
Excuse me.
So.
We haven't gotten through a round. I'm already pissed.
I know. I always like to hear Matt get pissed when you're Jar Jar.
We're all at 0. We're all tied.
That's right.
And we get a fresh start here, Chris. How do you feel about that?
Well, compared to last trivia's slaughter.
Yeah.
Hopefully I might do a little bit better.
I'm hoping the same.
Hopefully you get to play.
Hopefully I'm in the ballpark. Well, like I said on our Facebook page to Dave, one of our other Daves anyway, like a phoenix, Chris, we will arise from the ashes.
Amen.
Oh man.
Okay, so even though we have 0 now, we're all also going to be eligible to bet 5 points. So
we gonna bet that first, or we can hear the categories first?
You're gonna hear the category, and then okay. You can make your wager.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
In this, the first question in the first round of the new batch of trivia entitled Imperial Pursuit.
Okay.
Okay, Chris. Randomly selecting your category. It is Padme Amidala.
Oh.
So your question will have something to do with Padme Amidala. And based on that general category, you must now wager how many points you're going for. If you don't feel too confident, you could, you know, wager nothing even if you won and start at 0. But if you wager big and get it wrong, you're going negative to start.
What do you mean?
Okay, hold on. Okay.
Does that make you feel better?
It does.
Okay.
See, I'm not really. I'm going with 2.
Holy shit! I was like, God, how long are you gonna drag this out?
I'm going with 2.
Okay, so you're wagering 2 points.
Yeah, 2 it is.
So after this question, it will either be +2 or -2.
Correct.
To start this new batch of trivia. I just told you.
Okay.
All right. Here's your question. In The Phantom Menace, what color is Padme's thumbnail?
Oh, my God. That is ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure people know it. Like, Tim probably knows it, but
well,
wow.
At what scene? Because, like, does she change? Does she have different thumbnail colors throughout the movie, or is it one color throughout the entire movie? That's the question.
It says, in general, what color is Padme's thumbnail in The Phantom
Menace? Let's see. The little lip thing is Chris learned a Scar of Remembrance. Maybe this is the smashed hammer thumb of Remembrance, and it's always the same color.
I'm sorry.
That was much funnier when I was thinking of it than saying it.
Let's see. She's probably constantly painting her nails.
Or Dorme is.
Oh, I like that scene.
Oh, my
even just that thought is really attractive to me.
All right, Padme's thumbnail.
It could be any color out there. Any color.
Well, you got to pick one for 2 points.
I got -2.
Notable choice. Notable choice in this round. You got to grow some guts and pick a color, my man.
I'm going with a trick question here.
Yeah.
I'm going black.
Why is that a trick question?
Black's not a real, you know, like bright, shiny color.
Okay.
But it is a color.
What if it's glossy
color,
black?
But it's not a real noticeable color.
Black isn't a color. It's the
if it's on a thumbnail, it's pretty damn noticeable.
I'm going with black.
You're going with black.
I am.
All right. The answer.
Orange, red, green, purple.
The answer is white.
That was my second. I was going to pick that, too.
You were kind of on the right track.
Yeah, I knew it.
Okay. And the explanation is white polish on thumbnails is a tradition in Padme's Corner of Naboo.
That's right.
That's not an explanation. That's a description.
Yeah. Well, the answer is white. So, Chris,
yes,
you're starting this game in the hole.
Negative two.
Yeah, you are.
Negative two.
All right. Tim.
Yes.
Your question is coming from the category special effects.
Ooh.
Ooh, this could be anything.
Three.
You're wagering three?
I'm wagering three. I have a feeling it'll be behind the scenes. I'm pretty good with that. And this is the first time we've had a question from this, so I have no idea what it's going to be, but I'm assuming it's going to be a behind-the-scenes question.
Okay.
So you're going with three?
Three.
Okay, good.
Why is that good?
That's all you needed to say.
Well, I'm randomly picking these and reading the question. To me, this I don't see how this is even special effects, but it's in the category of special effects. But here's the question. When was Darth Vader's theme music, The Imperial March, heard playing on a harp?
Wow.
Can we go back to the
Imperial March? The Imperial March did not occur until Empire Strikes Back.
I see what's going on here. Tim doesn't know the answer, but he wants to show how much he knows about Star Wars. We're going to hear a lot of shit that has nothing to do with the final answer, aren't we?
I'm trying to think when we would have heard that. The Imperial March on a harp.
Don't make me destroy you.
Tim, you don't know it.
I'm trying to think of when.
Tim, you know this.
What? On a harp. That is really hard. I am gonna say when Luke is taking off his mask.
That's it.
I hope it is. That's my answer, but is it asking for a scene?
It's asking for something very specific, yes.
I mean, that's my answer. When Luke is taking his
helmet. A correct answer would be when someone played it on a harp. Would that count?
I would take that.
That's a technicality.
Oh, okay.
So what's your answer?
My answer is right as he's removing or as he's removing the helmet and Vader dies.
What?
And the answer is,
you were right about me.
When Vader/Anakin died at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Oh my god, I got a boner.
Good job, Tim.
Holy shit.
I'm writing down the timestamp because there's the opener.
Tim, that was well done.
That is correct.
Oh, man.
Tim, you're at plus three.
That is awesome.
Well done.
You are a fucking dork, man.
You know what? I haven't watched Return of the Jedi in quite a while, so that is amazing. I knew it had to be a sad point.
Sure.
So Tim got that right?
Yes, he did.
That's correct. All that we need to say. We don't need to hear anymore.
Matt, bet four.
All right, Matt. Your question is coming from a category called
Jar Jar.
Technology.
Ooh. See, now if this were real life, I'd bet five, but it's not. Man, I want to take Chris's advice and go with four, but I'm going to stick with three and see if I can, instead of having to play catch up like last round, stick with Tim throughout this series.
Okay. So what's the wager?
Three.
All right. The question is this. In A New Hope, what was the name of the floating torture device with the hypodermic needle on the Death Star?
Ooh.
Dr. Ball.
All right. Well, okay. Vader says resistance to the mind probe is something, something, something. So I'm going to guess, since it's a machine, it's called the Mind Probe Droid, maybe?
What?
The Mind Probe Droid.
I can just tell by what you said that that's not right.
Dave's trying to find the answer.
Oh, okay.
You glossed right at the end of this thing.
Okay. So your question, your answer was the what again?
The mind probe droid.
I will read you the exact words from the
giant
answer.
Hurt ball.
It's three words, and the three words are this: the mind probe.
That is correct.
Nice job, Matt.
Yeah. All right. I was afraid you were telling me that because you weren't going to give me the points. No, well, droid, ergo, no points.
Very good.
You two guys kind of thought your way through it and stumbled through it and said almost exactly what was in the answer. I'm impressed.
Now it's all about, you know, it's a fight now, I think. It's like those rock movies. The first one was like from something else.
Who, Matt and Tim?
Yeah.
You and I are like the no-name guys that they knock out in a montage.
Spider Rico.
Exactly, you're montage fighters.
I'm Frank Stallone.
I like the montage fighters.
Yeah, you're Spider Rico.
Alright, what do you do? Just, all right.
So you're going to pick a category.
Alright, I picked it. I open up here to... Okay. Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Okay. Now what I've been doing is some of them are very easy. So I've just been going through and picking half-decent ones with a black marker. So if you don't see a black marker, keep going. And I don't know the answers to them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to use this one. This one is about Qui-Gon.
Oh, God. All right. So I got a wager on Qui-Gon.
Yes,
he's
correct.
He's in the one movie that I classify as one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So... Oh. I'm going to wager... Would you wager two?
Yeah.
I'm gonna play it safe like you. I'm gonna wager two.
All right.
All right, so you're going two.
2 points, okay. Yes.
What was Qui-Gon's first line in The Phantom Menace?
Ooh.
Brainless?
Jeez. You just asked me. I got to figure it out already.
I think I know.
I'm sure you know, Tim. You saw it 3 times a day it opened.
I saw it 5 times.
I'm probably playing it right now as we go along.
All right, I can picture the scene, but what does he say to him? I can't. I don't even have a guess.
Don't.
I'm going to have him say... if I have to guess, I'm going to say that Obi-Wan was impatient about what was going on and how it was taking a very long time for those Asian frog looking guys to come to the room. So he said, patience.
Nice.
That's really, I like your logic there.
Okay. Yeah. Even if that's not right, I like that.
Because
the answer,
the answer is one word.
Okay.
And I'll tell you when it was said. It was said off screen.
Oh, what?
To a pilot as he and Obi-Wan approach Naboo.
Oh, that's right.
Is it boobies?
I don't know what it is.
What's his name, Matt?
Is it boobies?
Yeah, that's what I would. It is Captain.
Okay. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
No, I like that question. At least it's from a movie.
I think the first thing he says
is Captain. We already know. We just went through this, Tim. It's Captain.
All right.
It's Captain, yeah.
In the first show of the new trivia.
Deja fucking vu. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Chris is at -2, as am I. Tim has 3. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what's Matt have?
3.
Okay. So
come on, scorekeep. Let's go. What's going
on? Tied in the lead and we're tied in last.
Yeah, correct.
Well, at least we got the double tie here.
I'm going to go on a limb and say to just hearing these questions, anybody who bets 5 right off the bat has got to have some huge balls. My balls are about the size of a 3 maximum.
And they are. What was it?
Wow.
This is going to hurt you or just kill you. I mean, you really have to know.
But you get no pleasure out of it. It's either going to hurt you or kill you.
Yeah, you're going to get no.
That's awesome.
You're going to get no balls.
This is going to be a really interesting round, I think.
All right. Well, I hope that you feel the same way as you're listening and you play along with us and enjoy it as much as we either will or
Because if
we totally won't.
If it's Boba Fett or Han Solo, oh yeah, I know that. Oh, five. It could be the most obscure question about them.
Well,
what is Han Solo's boot size?
You got to know your stuff.
All right.
Are you? You're feeling like you don't know your stuff?
I know my shit.
Mm-hmm. You don't seem too confident.
As right. The first two rounds of trivia so far are shown.
It's going to be another long 25 episodes.
Sorry. That was really funny.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about Dave, how do you say this?
Bo
Space
Check.
Or Bo Sheck. Join us next time when we discuss Dolte Dauphine.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.